Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. There's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Hello everyone, welcome to the NRF1 podcast. My name is Michael Bailey. We're back in Norwich at Argent Towers actually to record our Japan review. Japanese Grand Prix came and went at the weekend, so we're going to talk through all the major talking points, discussion features. All we needed to do was wait for Stephen Russ to finish looking at the latest Rolls-Royce magazine. You're quite impressed by that, weren't you?
No.
It was the lack of pictures of cars, I think. But we won't slag it off too much because my employers might not be too happy, Steve. So no doubt if you wanted to write a review of the magazine and we'll host it on the website, that might do.
Well, might do. My thoughts of the Rolls-Royce magazine.
Maybe
could
not.
Be a monthly.
Yeah. Let's maybe not do that. Steve Russ here. How are you doing, Steve? Did you enjoy the race of the weekend?
Yeah, actually, I thought that was vastly improvement from the last race.
Did you?
Yeah, I actually really liked it. I thought, because the last race I thought was just a drear fest.
Wow, that really surprised me, because I effectively fast-forwarded through the whole second half of the race.
That's because you recorded it, didn't you?
I did, yeah, that is because I recorded it.
I recorded it, but didn't fast-forward.
Well done. That's good. But yeah, of course I couldn't have fast-forwarded it if I'd watched it live. But, you know, maybe that will happen in future. Rolls-Royce will be behind it if you can. Richard Baxter's here. How are you doing, Rich?
Hello. Yeah, I'm doing well, thank you. Just to even it out, I think the magazine is smashing.
Good man. Well, you work for Archon as well, so you have to say that.
Yeah.
What did you think of the race?
I thought it was good. Yeah, it was entertaining. Up from kind of the midway downwards, anyway. I mean, up the top, it was pretty much basic. But, yeah, enjoyed it otherwise.
Well, maybe it was just me. How are you doing, Josh? Good to have you back in.
Thank you. Yeah, not too bad. I thought the race was good too.
Oh, it's just me. It's fine. Yeah, that's fine. I'll take that.
I mean, you had to pretend that they were fighting over actual points instead of 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th and 16th. Yeah. But if you did that, it was
fine.
It was fine.
It was fine. It would take that. Absolutely. How's the karting been going?
Not too bad. Yeah, we've been to Brands Hatch and Anglesey the last two rounds, and I think I picked up a top 10 finish in both weekends, so that's good.
In the supercarts, is that
yeah.
still?
Yeah, all that. So it's the 125 Supercart Championship, and it's, we seem to start to get together, starting to get my pace together, which is great.
Top 10, eh? Top 10. We have a top 10 karter in our midst. That's awesome. Supercarts as well. Yeah. To be honest, you probably overtook a McLaren on the way around, actually, didn't you? Anyway, we'll get into that in a moment, I'm sure. But the thing about Japan, it was normal service resumed, wasn't it? We had all the fun and games in Singapore, this brave new world, and it got shattered as we arrived in Suzuka.
I was genuinely optimistic. I really went into Suzuka thinking, maybe Ferrari could take it to them.
How long did you have that thought for? How long did it last until?
Not very long.
Well, when
until I didn't actually watch qualifying, and I saw a GIF submitted on Reddit, which was of Kvyat's crash, and I saw the standings at that point in Q3. I was like, oh, yeah. At that point, my dream was shattered.
Rich, you were live tweeting, weren't you, for the race? How did you enjoy it? Well done.
I did do it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think it went okay. There's a few favourites, and I did see a retweet as well in there. So. Must have been saying something right.
Yeah, good man. And hopefully we'll keep doing it between the three or four of us. Steve's not going to do it, is he? Because he's not on Twitter. But, you know, between a select group of us, we will keep the live tweets going. Because I think that's really a lot of fun, I think. Because it's a good thing to do. At what point did the bubble burst for you, Rich? The whole dream that it would be, you know, a massive Ferrari comeback?
That's probably qualifying, I suppose, maybe P3, because P1 and 2, it was a bit different. We had Sainz topping the first practice, and Kvyat, I think, was the second practice. So that looked quite interesting, but obviously it was raining. But it never gives you a real view of everything, but it kind of made me hope for rain in the race, though, which we never had, which was a bit disappointing. But
it was a gorgeous day, wasn't it? You know, after how horrible, of course, it was last year, it really did make the track look in such wonderful nick. Yeah, Steve, I mean, Mercedes, but you'll be happy with this, though, won't you? You're a big Lewis Hamilton fan.
Aren't we all?
Well, exactly, this is it. And he did really roll the roost, didn't he? It was all about him and his race.
He was putting like a second a lap to start with, you know, on sort of Vettel in second, and even more so with Rosberg. I mean, it was just total dominance. I thought it was interesting that he asked for most of the weekend to not really be hounded by the press. I think he just wanted to reset himself, get himself back into the groove, back on track, and he just dominated. And I think the TV cameras weren't even interested in filming because he didn't appear for about an hour, did he?
Well, I was going to say that clearly improvement in... Well, not an improvement, but it shows Hamilton's level of maturity. You mentioned the TV coverage, which is something that was on Autosport that Mercedes were going to have a word with Bernie Eccleston about directly. I mean, the TV direction wasn't great over the entire weekend anyway. I thought, I don't know what quite has happened since the last time they did a race. But do you buy this? I kind of agree with Steve. Probably just not that interesting, were they?
Yeah, it wasn't fantastic. I don't think the direction was fantastic, but at the same time, I don't think Mercedes did anything that was worth televising. I mean, obviously winning is a good thing, but
they televised that bit.
And they televised that bit, but at the end of the day, it's kind of, he was driving around doing really well, which is great, but there was actual potential for position changes further down the field, and I think it's valid to focus on that.
I would agree, and it's almost saying, look, if you're going to dominate the thing, deal with it, because we're not that interested if you do.
Well, if they're winning the constructors how they are, they're getting a big chunk of the money. I mean, maybe if they swap some of their sponsors, give them to McLaren, who are suffering a bit more, maybe it will equal it out, you know? They don't really need the extra cash from the sponsors.
Brilliant. I love that. Donate a couple of sponsors. Lewis Hamilton, 41st career win. He matches Ayrton Senna, which is, of course, a big thing for him, and follows on the back of the fact that Sebastian Vettel actually overtook Seb's record. His win record, not actually a record per se, but his record in Singapore. It was the 8th 1-2 for Mercedes this season, and the 8th time the same team's had a 1-2 in Japan. Don't know what that stat means at the end, but it sounds very good, and I'm literally copying it off the telly, but it's very good. I mean, he is on the verge of winning it now, isn't he, Steve?
Yeah, he is. I did do a little bit of a points calculation thing last night, and
love it.
He can't, assuming that he obviously wins like the next sort of list of races, if you like, and Rosberg does finish second, he can't wrap it up until Mexico.
Okay.
Assuming it finishes like, I mean, if Rosberg has like a non-points finishes, or perhaps finishes the lower part of the top 10, does change. But assuming that they're going to finish, you know, 1-2, he can't actually wrap it up now until Mexico because of his DNF in Singapore.
Indeed. Okay. That's interesting. But I guess, you know, we're probably a couple of races from him being able to physically wrap it up. And I would imagine that the Constructors' Championship isn't too far off being sorted either. Nico Rosberg. He seemed a little defensive in some of his interviews, which he normally does anyway, to be honest, but especially after qualifying, maybe preempting his start, which, to be fair, wasn't bad, but he just hasn't quite got enough when it's toe-to-toe with him and Lewis, has he?
No, I was quite pleased because that was actually a little prediction I had, but... No, he's done it in the last...
Well, and it was a complex one, so we might get stuck into that. But yeah, carry on.
But recently, the last few races, he's had more trouble getting off the line. He's lost places. I think it was at Belgium when they changed it.
Yeah. I was going to say, since they changed it, so they couldn't guide them over the start procedure.
Yeah.
Literally schooled them over. Yeah.
That's it. So, I mean, he's lost a few, you know, places off the start. So, I mean, he's not really helping himself out. But
like Weber, isn't it, there? Screwing himself on the start line that was pretty much his traditional role.
It was indeed. I mean, he had a good comeback after that. I thought his overtake on Bottas was fantastic, the way he did that. And he did get back from
second. And the thing is, I don't know if I attribute more to it because it's in DRS era where you don't have to do an overtaking move like that, but he did anyway. I thought that was quite impressive.
I mean, the thing is, for me, is I found that move also really impressive, and it shows that he has got it. But the thing is at the start, for me, he just gifted that straight to Hamilton. He didn't defend his line. He just left, you know, three quarters of the track open for Hamilton to swoop up that side. And that was the way the next corner was going. And it was just like, there's the racing line, go past me. And of course he did. And it was just a typical standard manoeuvre where he was ultimately going to have to back out to avoid a collision and would ultimately lose other places as well. And I thought if it had been the other way round, you know, Hamilton would have, you know, that he would have moved over to try and defend. And for me, that's just the difference between the two of them, really. It is there, but it's not consistently there.
That's kind of like a Ralf Schumacher, really, isn't it? I mean, Ralf was great on his best days.
Oh, a rare mention for Ralf Schumacher. I love it.
Well, that was an opportunity there. I thought, because Ralf was really good.
Sometimes, yeah. That's well. That sorts the men from the boys, or the youngsters from the people, the adults.
It does sort of set out the legends from the, you know, the guys that were good on occasion. I mean, my favourite driver for a long time was Rubens, and Rubens was exactly like that.
He was. He was indeed. We should touch on the fact that, of course, it was the first time back at Suzuka since last year's race, when Jules Bianchi effectively lost his life with that horrific crash in such awful conditions as well. And I suppose it was mostly somber because the paddock and the drivers and everyone involved in Formula 1 were returning to the scene for the first time since it had happened. I suppose it's a bit different for everyone on the outside because, you know, we're carrying on about our lives and the race is back there. And even then, it's a bit like, oh, yeah, I remember, it's bringing back memories. But for the people who are actually returning to the circuit for the first time in 12 months, and certainly I think it was quite affecting for Manor as well.
Yeah, it was. There wasn't too much made of it as with, you know, memorials and memories, things going on for him. But, you know, they're there to race. Just sometimes those things are a bit of a distraction for drivers, as we did see, was it in Hungary, I think, where it all went, and that race was carnage, really, wasn't it? But it was quite a shocking reminder, though, when Kvyat had his crash in qualifying. And you have to say credit to the guys who designed those cars, because that was a massive impact. That was one layer of tyres against a, you know, a solid Armco barrier. And he got out of the car and walked away. So, you know, as it has been looked at safety this season, you have to give massive respect and credit to each person who designs those cars and the safety tests they're put through, because they clearly are still, you know, damn safe.
And he was on the radio almost immediately afterwards to say he was okay, which is great. I think that brings us on nicely to the NRF1 pit stops. You didn't see it, but I pointed my finger, not up like Seb, more across in a forward.
A grease lightning move.
Thank you, Richard. I'll take that most definitely. I was going to start at McLaren, but as we were talking about Red Bull, let's start there. It was a huge jump for Daniel Kvyat, and a little bit of a strange one, because he literally just clipped the grass and that was it.
It was really strange, but quite a few of them had the same sort of thing, because was it Ericsson or Nasr spun
Ericsson
a few times?
Ericsson too, yeah.
Spoon, which again is a really strange place. I don't think I've ever seen an Ericsson like Kvyat crash.
It was a nice juxtaposition, actually, because Marcus Ericsson said, oh, I thought something had broken in the car, but it hadn't, so that was obviously good. Whereas Daniel Kvyat was very honest. He said, look, I just went on the grass, got it wrong. And it was nice for him to be honest and say, look, I made a mistake, rather than Marcus going, well, I don't know what happened, surely the car broke.
I can sympathise with that, because the circuit isn't the widest at Suzuka. And when I've played on my video games at home, I have got a steering wheel.
I'm glad this helps you sympathise.
And I've done that before. You go around and you think, oh yeah, I've got a bit of space, and then you just touch the grass and that kind of thing happens. I mean, I'm not saying I'm just as good a driver, but probably just as bad.
Says a lot for the computer game. How about you?
I've had that exact type of accident in a kart before. And I was adamant that something had broken. Looking around.
You've got to be honest, Josh. Around. This is what gets you the kudos points. You've got to be honest.
I was looking around going, something must have broken. And then that, it was fine. The kart was fine. I was like, oh.
You have to say, you do some great work with your GoPro, because you always have the GoPro on the kart and you get to see the laps. I always find it brilliant to watch.
It's interesting because you get to sort of see exactly what happened. I mean, I spun at Brands Hatch and all I did was I put it a little bit too much on the curb, and you just look at it and it's like, yep, that was all me.
So yeah, you actually can't blame anything else.
You can't blame anything else. Once you've got video proof of it, it's just like,
thank goodness for the GoPro, hey? Good old GoPro. What else do we want to say on Red Bull? I thought it was very smart that Kvyat, he allowed Raikkonen to lap him, knowing that when Raikkonen would then lap Marcus Ericsson, he would follow him through. It was the most predictable overtake. He just knew it was going to happen, but poor old Marcus. And I looked at, now I'm not going to dig out Marcus Ericsson, although I pretty much am, but you look at him and you look at him and think, well, you know, you're not great. You're all right. But he's a fantastic driver to be driving in Formula One. I don't know how much, you know, he's obviously brought a lot of money with him, so I don't know how much money he's making from it, or, you know, how good his lifestyle is. I don't know, I'm curious, but, you know, it's just he got done, really, and it's like, you're so good yet in this level, Not really there. Anyway, I don't know really. That's just my little rant, really.
We did see Verstappen do similar in Monaco. He was following Vettel around and just, you know, following Vettel through these gaps. And it was just a very smart thing to do. And it, you know, I did put on the live feed, you know, just said it was a sneaky overtake because it really was. It was just a surprise. See you later. Yeah.
So clever.
I think what you were saying about Ericsson being kind of average in Formula 1 is really interesting because in GP2, and I watched him for quite a while in GP2, him and Nasser, and they both performed quite well in GP2. And then taking the step up, just you realise that even if you're at the top of your game at pretty much the top level before Formula 1, it's still not necessarily enough to break through into Formula 1 and be something.
Yeah, it's an issue with sport in general. It happens across the board. Of course, Mark. Or is it the car? Well, that is a fair point as well, although I don't think the car makes the mistakes because nothing broke on the car, don't forget, Steve. But and Marcus has got good strong Norfolk links. He drove for iSport and Supernova, I think, in GP2, so actually I should be really nice to him, really, because he's like a local hope. But you know, there we go, we'll leave it alone. One quick question on Daniel Ricciardo's start. He went for a very tight gap. It effectively ended Felipe Massa's race, and it didn't really do him any favours either. Should he have gone for it or not? I thought it was okay, but
you could go back to one of Ayrton Senna's famous quotes: "If you don't go for that half a yard gap, you're no longer a racing driver."
We're ending that discussion there because that perfectly answers it. Let's touch on Lotus, shall we? Now they had it. Was it? He was talking about Japan. Yeah, good work. Lotus. They had a cracking weekend, really, considering.
Did they get both cars into the points?
They did. Yeah. Well, high up, a 7th and 8th. They had no hospitality for the whole weekend, which is a major issue, of course.
Did you see the picture that Jolyon Palmer tweeted? That was, he was sat on the floor going, VIP hospitality. I think he had a packet of Doritos or something.
Hey, I take it. Amazing. I mean, no hospitality, but, you know. Well, that was not the main thing, but they got the cars late too and the freight arrived late. But they seem to be getting stronger, even though they can't presumably develop the car. And of course, we now know Lotus have officially registered their intent to take over the team. I would imagine that will mean that it will be renamed as a Renault team rather than Lotus in the future too. That will be the end of the Norfolk links. Not that it's much of a Norfolk link anyway now. But so, in a way, I suppose things are looking quite good, aren't they, for Lotus? Although they are going to have just Pastor Maldonado driving for them next year, maybe.
Well, yeah, they have done well. And you said it could be the end of the links, but we don't know if it's only Maldonado. They might give Jolyon Palmer the full drive, and of course he's got Norfolk links as well.
Yeah, his dad owns Snetterton.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, you don't know what might happen there, but they did have a really good race. Maldonado did do well, to be honest. He was in the points, and he followed his teammate home. And I don't think he had an incident all weekend, did he?
No, which is probably because I barely noticed him. So, you know.
He did have quite an anonymous one, but.
Yeah. Swings and roundabouts.
Well, yeah, I guess. But Maldonado, he is solid when he's not crashing into things.
He's quite solid when he does crash into things, and they all bounce off. McLaren, then, let's get round to it, shall we? Now, there was the issue with Jenson Button in qualifying. The car was in the wrong engine mode. I mean, seriously, in qualifying, I mean, what?
When it's bad, it's horrendous, isn't it? I mean, you've seen this sort of thing before, you know, where you think, well, how can a big team like that be making mistakes? But it always seems to be when everything is going wrong, it just, you get stupid things like this come up. But horrendous weekend for them, and somewhat controversial for some of their employees.
Well, Fernando Alonso was clearly making his feelings clear. A GP2 engine, I mean.
He seemed unhappy.
Did you think?
I think he seemed unhappy in that one.
So did Ron Dennis.
Ron Dennis, too, who did a fairly honest interview afterwards, it must be said. But
I was going to say, I wasn't sure if it was Jensen or Alonso, but he got overtaken by two cars at once going into the first corner.
That was no Button.
Probably both of them.
It was Alonso later, but if you're talking about the start, that was Button. But no, Alonso later, there was two or three, I think, just overtook him. And I think then the radio message that he sent in was shortly after. But that was on the straights.
Yeah,
they just don't have any. They just don't have any guts on the straights at all.
Which is what Fernando was saying. Really, they go to all that trouble of getting it through the corners quickly, and then you get on a straight and everyone comes flying past you. And there was it was comedy, their pace at some points, because as you said, there was one point where but two cars were overtaking either side, and they were like, oh, trying to make sure they didn't hit it, and actually got around.
I think Alonso deliberately saved those radio messages from the whole season of frustration up to the Japanese Grand Prix being Honda's home race.
Yeah, the right race to choose, yeah. Obviously. Yeah.
Just to embarrass them and say, you know, come and sort it out, you know, give them a bit of a nudge and say, I can keep going if you want. And but I did say that at one point they were holding their ground. I think Alonso was 11th, pretty solidly, and he had a couple of cars behind. I think it was Kvyat and Verstappen, and I couldn't get past him, and he just managed to keep holding them off. And as soon as I put a tweet saying, you know, for their engine woes, they're managing to hold them off, Verstappen goes sailing through and, yeah, putting into that one.
It is the worst to be that down on power, because you end up having to drive perfect, every corner perfect, just to keep people behind you. And as soon as you make a mistake, that's it. They can just sail past you on the next straight. And it is intensely frustrating.
It's an intense frustration that Jensen appears to be going to experience next season as well, because he's not retiring. That's Ron Dennis has said they've got a 2-year contract, and that's that.
That's Ron Dennis for you, isn't it? I mean, I think what he says and what can sometimes actually happen could be two different things, but I don't know. I could still see Button leaving, really, to be honest. I think he's just at the wrong end of his career to be playing a patience game. You know, he's been at McLaren long enough. I'm sure he obviously went there with intentions of being able to win races and hopefully championships, and I think it's just been too many years for him now there, and the fact that it could take as long as he's been there to now get back to the front, I think at the end of the season, I think he'll just draw a line under it and go for a different venture.
It could be quite like what happened to Michael Schumacher, where he developed worked with Mercedes and they developed a really good car and engine, and then they shunted him out of the team. He didn't get to reap that, unfortunately.
A quick mention for Manor. Obviously, as we've said, it was a difficult weekend for them. Will Stevens spun in the middle. I mean, he almost took out Alexander Rossi. I mean, it was nuts.
I saw 180, 90 miles an hour there, isn't it? It's, you know, 130 hour, right at the bottom end of the straight. And how did he spin? I can't remember. I remember seeing him spin. It was like, whoa.
Maybe something broke on the car.
He was up on the curb, and I think they said something about, because he went out of the toe of the other car, the grip level changed, and it just threw the car into a spin. I mean, watching it, it just looked like it just completely broke traction. Wow.
It's frightening how he didn't collect someone else.
Full credit.
Well, that wasn't my phone. That's good, yeah.
Full credit to the guy behind him, because, I mean, with all of that smoke, I don't know whether he just guessed to sort of, you know, but it looked like he sort of almost foresee where he was going to be and just came out the right side. Because, I mean, he could have collided straight into him. That would have been a good safety car job. But
it would have been, yeah.
Lost a point.
Oh, yeah, all right. We can wait until we get to the predictions, because I have a feeling we're going to be having a few arguments about some of them. So we'll see how we get on. And final stop, wanted to make Toro Rosso. Max Verstappen overtook Carlos Sainz Jr. at one point. It was a good little move. And I guess that's another blow for the Spaniard, who's a lovely bloke, but doesn't seem to have the better of that battle at the moment.
He did have some damage to his car, because he came into the pits and he hit a cone.
He did? And, well, that was an achievement, yeah.
And it was the side of his car that it was a bit damaged on there as well. So that's an excuse he can use. The car was broken that time. But That was quite funny when he came into the pits, because David Coulthard gave him a hard time. He just needs to concentrate more. And I was like, I seem to remember David Coulthard crashing into the pit lane.
No.
Adelaide, something.
The joys of the pundit is that you just forget these things. You don't need to worry about it.
With all this action, how could you have fast forward
through the race? Because stuff we're talking about, and you fast forward through lots of it.
I saw it all, so I just assumed most of it happened not including the last 20 laps, probably. Yeah, no, I bet you none of this stuff happened in the last 20 laps.
That's a good idea, actually. They keep saying we want to make the cars faster. Why don't we all just record it and watch it in fast forwards?
Yeah. It's not easy, it's a skill.
Yeah, it hasn't got that bad yet.
How about our of the weekends then, shall we? Driver of the weekend. Votes, please.
Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, I would agree with Lewis. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, we don't know why.
Contest. I mean, it's just, it was faultless.
Well, we didn't see why, but we just know that he won.
I'm
so
agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, worthy shout for Maldonado as well.
Oh, fair enough.
Give him a hard time. So,
well, I was going to give a worthy shout for Nico Hülkenberg as well, because I think he matched his best result of the season, 6th. And also, I
started 13th,
and I predicted that he wouldn't score a point. So I was a bit annoyed too. Go to the weekend. This was quite tricky.
I want to say David Coulthard for his attempt at slagging off signs and forgetting what he did. But I want to say, is it Kai someone, the guy who did the interviews on the podium? His outfit, just that.
Now that is a bit I fast forwarded through, or I may have even seen the replay, so I don't think they included it in the actual rerun of the race, so I missed it.
He was wearing kind of grass print trousers with a yellow shirt.
Oh, yellow and green then.
Yeah, and I think he had a green tie as well. I mean, nothing wrong with the choice of colours, just grass print trousers.
Wow, I assume there'll be a picture of this on Twitter somewhere.
Yeah, there probably will be.
That's some media coverage.
And
it worked.
Yeah. Rich, you find a picture of him and we'll retweet it on the Twitter feed, and everyone can enjoy it. We'll make it the picture of this week's podcast, shall we? Let's do that. Any more shouts for GOAT of the weekend?
McLaren, Honda.
McLaren and Honda,
yeah.
Collective effort.
Well, yeah.
I was going to suggest Rosberg for just mucking it up again, just not quite, but that's probably a bit harsh, really.
He still finished second.
He did still finish second.
That's pretty much the lowest they can finish if they've not got a problem. But.
Yeah. Or the TV director, get a grip. How about the team of the weekend? I'm going to say Lotus, because I really thought they pulled it out of the fire from a pretty awful situation, but any other votes?
Toro Rosso could be. They managed to get both cars into the points and they were both down the grid, weren't they?
Yeah, reasonably so.
Shall I go with the Norfolk connection?
Lotus, yeah, you're saying Lotus.
The outgoing Norfolk connection.
Yeah, I think they did. I can't argue with Lotus. They did have a good result.
And how about our highlight then? What stood out? I must admit, when Carlos Sainz went into the bollard, that was quite
friendly. Because obviously the move Hamilton pulled on Rosberg, Daniel Ricciardo's attempt, and there was other things going on as well. I thought the start, really.
We had to keep watching the replays, didn't you? Because you wanted to see what was happening at the front and also why people were running off at the side. So, yeah, it's a good shout. Any other suggestions?
I really liked Rosberg's move on Bottas.
Yeah.
That was quite... Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Good man. Rich?
I think Hamilton inside at the first corner on Rosberg was good, but I also did just love Alonso's radio all day. Just, I wish he did 300 laps just talking the whole way.
just open it up, live commentary all
it
the way.
It was comedic, it was brilliant.
I think there was a lot of comedy about McLaren.
Jensen's been good as well. I quite like when he asked, I think this might not have been this race, but it was like when he's like, what else do you want me to do?
He's a good man. I would like to throw in a noble shout for Susie Perry. Now, I'm not maybe her biggest fan, but she was talking about Max Verstappen and when his car stopped in qualifying and he just walked away. And she tripped over her link a bit and she called him Max Verstappen. I thought that was brilliant. I thought that's 10 points. That is exactly the headline you would have wanted. So, I thought that was good work. Okay, well, shall we try and rattle this through into one podcast? I think we should. Let's look ahead to Russia, shall we? Because I think normally at this point we bring up the news, but I think we've kind of touched on most of it. We know what's happening with Lotus. We now know what's happening with Jensen. And as we're recording this on the Monday after Japan, who knows what will happen over the next fortnight. So instead, let's look ahead to Russia. Sochi, Lewis Hamilton won there last year. It was the first race, I think, wasn't it? 2014 race was the first time there. But I've got to say, it didn't really make much of an impression on me.
No.
I remember there was 5 laps of quite interesting overtakes and then it just nothing happened for the rest of the race, it seemed.
So here's one for you. In 2020, is this race going to have gone the same way as Korea, India, and what's the other one I've written down? Korea, India and Turkey.
I would have said Turkey. Yeah, I think it's unlikely to still be on the calendar in 2020. I don't. There seems to be a bit of a merry-go-round with these new circuits. They seem to come on and then they seem to disappear very quickly, and then there's another one. I think there's probably about 5 places for about 10 circuits, and I think it just goes round in a merry-go-round, to keep them all happy at some point. But last year's race was a bit That was a bit sort of quiet, really. The most thing that stood out for me, I remember, was the start where Rosberg tried some audacious manoeuvre on Hamilton and then had to blow his brakes on and flat spotted all four tyres.
Yeah.
And had to pit on lap one, didn't he?
Well,
yeah. But he actually came all the way back to second from the back of the grid.
Oh, well, there you go. That's good.
On a one stop as well.
Maybe Japan was good practice for him.
I rewatched the highlights this morning and that lockup is impressive. Like how long he tried to stop the car and then he realised he wasn't. And when he went over, like, watching on board, and he was still carrying a lot of speed, even after he'd locked up for like 50 metres.
Rich, in his great work, has just found a picture of Kai, I think that's his name, in his green trousers. I mean, the jacket looks like something I would wear, I've got to be honest, but I'm not sure about the trousers. Wait, is that on Twitter, Rich?
That is indeed.
Can we retweet that on the Twitter feed?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get that retweet on the Twitter feed, which is, of course, at the NRF1. I'll get the plug in there. It's also worth saying that Kyle Cumbers might actually be at the Turkish circuit at the moment buying a car, because he is on holiday in Turkey, I think, at present. Mm-hmm. And that's another picture of him. Give me one word how you would describe that outfit.
A frog.
Frog.
Like.
Elf.
He does look like Buddy. I mean, Rich can't find the words. I think that's quite clear. We better leave him there. Speechless. That's a good word. Most important weekend in Russia for?
Kvyat.
Yeah, that's what I would have said. Daniel Kvyat.
Home race.
Why not?
Fair shout, actually, to be fair.
He's in a good car. He's not actually. He's in about the same car as he was last time, really. Okay, well, predictions-wise, Japan. Right, I have a feeling. I'm just going to be on edge here because I'm conscious that I might be going to get a bit of an argument from people, okay, but this is what the guys predicted for Japan. It's worth saying Kyle had a very good weekend on the betting as well, the betting tips on our website, which is nrf1.uk. Hopefully, I don't know how long he's away for, but hopefully, if you're listening, Kyle, he will put together some betting tips for Russia too. So keep an eye out for those. They'll be on the website, as I said, nrf1.uk, and we'll tweet them on the Twitter feed and also the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/nrf1podcast. But the betting tips are one thing, the prediction league, quite the other matter. Now, we will hear your predictions in a moment, Josh, for Russia, but let's go through what the guys said for Japan. Steve, you said that there would be a Mercedes front row lockout in qualifying, correct? You said it'd be a wet race, incorrect. There wasn't a drop of rain anyway, I think, fortunately, but there also was no intermediate or wet tyre usage. You said Vettel would be on the podium and that there wouldn't be a safety car, correct, and McLaren's to have two DNFs. Alas, but that's a pretty good week. That's no shame in that. I said that a Mercedes wouldn't win. So that was wrong. I said Raikkonen would finish on the podium. He was fourth, I think. I said McLaren's would have one exit in Q1 and one exit in Q2 in qualifying. Nailed that one a treat. I said that Button would finish ahead of Alonso, which didn't happen in the race, that is, and that Sainz would finish ahead of Verstappen and point in his face. And sadly, he didn't finish ahead of him and therefore couldn't point in his face. And as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, Hülkenberg to get no points, which of course he didn't. He produced his best performance equal of the season. So I think I said he wouldn't get any points when he last finished sixth as well. So he obviously wants me to do that on a regular basis. Rich, now. Okay. You said that the car that was on P2 would take the lead into turn one off the start of the first lap.
I did indeed say that, yeah. But I'm nervous about this one because it was kind of P2 when it was completed. Turn two when the move was completed.
I'm glad you've said that because, yes, I would most definitely say that Lewis was still behind Nico. I have given you half a point for it because I would say that Nico was still ahead going into turn one and actually fell behind in turn two. But it's a pretty good effort, really. And then you said Rosberg to lose a place off the start, which I don't think he did either because he was still leading through the start. Would we agree? I know I'm being very harsh, but I did have to keep looking at these. He didn't really lose a place off the start, did
he? Not really, no.
How close are we in the league?
I don't know, to be honest. Quite close, I think. Well, actually, it's more about you and Steve. So, I didn't give you anything for that one, Rich, but that was a noble effort. So I gave you a kudos point for saying that there would be a Williams on the podium. but that didn't happen. And that you said McLaren would have two classified finishes. Oh, which you got right, and I haven't given you a point here. Oh, so I might have to recheck the table. And you said there'd be a safety car, which there wasn't. I know, that's a mistake. Don't worry, I'll sort that out. I will sort that out. So you are one down. Kyle said that there'd be a Mercedes, Red Bull and Ferrari podium in qualifying and in the race. Ooh. He also said there'd be two Toro Rossos in the points. Well done. McLaren would have two cars exit Q1, which was wrong, and only one car classified finish, which is also wrong. And then Johnny Parfitt on Twitter got involved with Uber prediction, which he likes. He seems to like these. I don't know, he's just making life hard for himself. But he gets 5 kudos points for the effort. And he actually, he had a 1 in 4 success rate by my calculations, which for predicting the fortunes of all 20 drivers is pretty good going, really. Yeah, what he got right is probably the easiest way of doing it. He said that Felipe Nasr would DNF, and he did. I think
according to the screenshot I got from the Formula One app, it said it DNF.
I think it's been changed to him having retired. Whereas at the race, you're right, they had the discussion that it'd be a classified finish, but I think it's since been changed to a retirement. So I have given him the benefit of the doubt on that one. But yeah, when it happened, I expected it to be an actual DNF. What does it say on there?
DNFer.
You are supposed to take the checkered flag.
Yeah, this is DNF.
Yeah.
And that was a screenshot from
the only DNF from the Japanese weekend. I must also
say. One app.
Yeah, well, okay, well, so, we're given that one. He got the podium right. Hamilton, Rosberg and Vettel, and in order, which is pretty good going too. A bit tricky in the midfield, obviously, the whole thing's tricky. And Ericsson in 14th, he picked up. So, top work, it must be, and that is his 5. So, I mean, that's pretty good work, really, isn't it? He did say that Maldonado, Perez and Alonso would all DNF as well. And the rest were in an order that didn't happen. So fair play, Johnny. Terrific effort and a pretty good score, really. So after 14 races, Kyle leads by quite a considerable amount, I have to say, gents. The Oracle has returned to form. Sam Todd, we didn't hear from him, but he's second in the standings. I'm third. Now, here I've got that you are rose up to fourth, Steve, with Rich fifth, but that might be under. It's very tight between you two, and so the one I missed out by accident, Rich, I do apologise, might have made a difference. Josh, you're sixth, but you haven't been in for a while.
I think you're becoming a bit of a Bernie with this, aren't you? Just stitching people up where you can.
I'm just trying to keep the show alive, you know. I'll start sprinkling water on it in a moment and see what happens. Johnny, seventh at the moment, and Ped, eighth. So let's get some predictions, shall we, then, for Russia. Josh, you get to go first, as it's been such a long time.
That seems reasonable. So I've got qualifying Hamilton, Rosberg and Kvyat, which is probably my Hail Mary
as a three, or in that order.
In that order, yeah. I reckon it's Hamilton's on form at the moment. I mean, I think realistically he probably would have been on pole if he'd been able to finish that session in Japan. But and race Hamilton, Rosberg, Vettel. I haven't really got many notes for the rest of Russia because there's only really been one race before, but I did notice that there was in the highlights reel I watched, there was quite a lot of overtaking, so I'm going to guess that Verstappen will do some crazy overtakes. That's not really a prediction, but
nope,
that's not a prediction. That just happens every race. So what we're going to go with?
Predict how many overtakes. Ooh. He does.
Oh, don't. How am I going to count that? I'm not going to be able to fast forward the second half of the race for that, am I? Well,
positions gained or lost from his start.
Yeah.
That's quite difficult to ascertain because I don't know if he's going to have a bad qualifying where he replaces something or a good qualifying where he ends up finishing where he started. I'll go with a McLaren double DNF just to compound their misery.
Why not? Every week.
And one of the Lotuses to crash or did not finish.
Fine. Lovely. Good work. You're happy with that? He's happy with that. Josh is happy with that, I can see. Right then, the two mid-table boys... Looking very eager.
I'll go next if you want.
Yeah. You want to, I can tell you, Steve. Go on.
Right, I'm going to keep it easy and keep it simple.
I know what this means.
So, Mercedes lockout on Saturday. Same result for Sunday. Mercedes 1-2. I'm actually going to go for a Williams on the podium. Because they actually did reasonably well last year at Russia, actually. I I think they'll probably do this, a similar again. Both McLarens out in Q1. I'm going to go for both Lotus drivers a top 10 finish and leave it at that.
Rich, your response. He's got the phone out.
I've done some Russian theme predictions. So
involve Putin.
How did you guess? Did you read it?
He's too busy declaring war on with Syria or something at the moment, so he might be busy.
It's a bit controversial. Well, we're supposed to be doing a Formula One podcast.
I know. It's just because he's on the TV.
Well, my first one's on Kvyat, though.
I don't think he really is declaring war. It was a joke. Let's just be clear before anyone gets panicky. And maybe we shouldn't really joke about these things. But, you know, carry on.
I'm going to say Kvyat's going to declare war on qualifying, and he's going to... He's going to qualify in the top five, I'm going to say. This is a Putin one. I'm going to say he will make an appearance on the podium with all the drivers.
Oh, God, I hope he doesn't.
He did it last year, I saw.
He did. So. Well, he was in the green room, wasn't he? Just in the corner. Well, Lewis Hamilton.
Tense, wasn't it? Nobody knew what to sort of say because they were all a bit like, you know, this guy's sort of a bit...
He could kill you if he wanted. I think that's probably the thing.
I'm going for that again, you know. You never know. He might actually show another interest. He might have enjoyed it last year. Or he might have thought, why are we paying 30 million or a year or whatever it is. But, yeah, anyway.
Enough Putin.
My third one, I'm going to say both Force Indias to get into Q3.
Okay,
that's not Russian themed. It's just another one.
Yep.
Next, I'm going to say Ricciardo to retire.
Oh, what, from the sport?
No, from the race. It'll get a DNF. And last one, I'm going to say similar to Steve. I'm going to say Bottas to finish in top five because he was on the podium last year. So I think he could have another good race.
That's a good show. I like that one. Brilliant. Well, that only leaves me, doesn't it? Okay. Well, I think Lewis will win the race. There you go. That's a big one for you. Enjoy that one.
That's shocking.
Yeah. I think both Saubers will exit Q1. I think that Max Verstappen will finish at least two places higher than where he qualified. Yeah. So he'll pick up 2 places during the race. Quite like that one. That's a good one. Tap myself on the back for that one. And I think that Felipe Massa will finish outside the top eight and Valtteri Bottas will finish inside the top four. Boom. I think that's quite specific for me and I will probably run away now until I just want to feel it. Maybe I should put something really obvious in just to help.
That's
so
fun.
No.
Look what I did at the start of the season. You still get points.
Fair point. I've gone for it. I've gone big. Let's let it go. I think we're done, gents. Good work. Rapid fire stuff. Right. Loads of stuff on the website. nrf1.uk. Your team orders blog went up and on schedule, Rich.
So, thank you very much. That was awesome.
Well, that was very good. Very great stuff. So you can read that. There's 2 weeks between now and the race. I might get round to writing a blog. I don't want to, you know, talk about it too much, but I might write a blog. And also I want to do the video of our karting thing, which Josh, you did. Do you remember the karting thing we did 3 years ago at Ella Park?
I do remember that.
I still haven't finished editing the video. But I am planning to do that possibly tomorrow, Tuesday, and then but I mean, what, you guys sadly aren't on it, but you'll get to watch it.
Is that the one where I do
to shove your face on? Yeah, I should do, really.
Is that where I do the terrible champagne spray right at the end of it?
Oh yeah, I don't think that made the edit.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's probably for the best.
Yeah. I am actually going karting for a mate's stag do this Saturday.
Are you? Where?
Yes, at Cromer.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, I've driven that once, but that was about, I'd hazard guess, about 15 or 20 years ago. Oof. I don't know what it's like now. I mean, it was a bit rough and bumpy in those days, but I don't know whether it's improved.
Wow.
But I have actually got a GoPro, so I could
get some footage. And we'll film it and use it.
The mounts and what sort of things I've got to securely attach it.
Yeah, don't.
I've only got dash mounts and things like that, but
we can't afford to replace any equipment, so don't break anything. But yeah, do that. We can put the video up. Rest on track. That'd be awesome. Yeah. And same with you, Josh. We can always flag up your, you know, super karting exploits. Oh, brilliant. I really want to go karting. I haven't been in ages.
I haven't been since I was probably about 8 or 9.
Well, we'll do that. We'll have to do an NRF1 championship. Well, no, maybe not. Looking straight at Josh, I think he might wrap that one up. What was I saying? Anyway, yeah. So NRF1.uk for all the stuff, all the blogs and shizzle and Kyle's betting tips. Hopefully ahead of Russia. I've told you the Twitter handle. I've told you the Facebook page. We'll maybe do some live tweets during Russia as well. Don't know who. Between us, someone will hopefully do it. I'm sure. Is that everything? Everything? I'm on Twitter at Michael J. Bailey. Rich, you're on Twitter?
Yeah, at Bax underscore kid.
We know that Steve's not on Twitter. But Josh, you are?
At I am Rayman.
And he is Rayman. When's the next race for you?
Saturday. I'm at Alton Park on Saturday. I've got two rounds left. Two of them are at Cadwell, two of them are at Alton.
Looking forward to it?
Yeah, it should be really good.
Excellent. Well, good luck. We'll see you soon, and we'll see you guys soon. Thanks everyone for coming in. Thank you all for listening, and look forward to the fun and games in Russia. Nothing to do with Vladimir, just the race, the Formula One. It'll be brilliant. Enjoy it. Bye for now.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.